Welcome to Life Rewritten, where we explore stories of transformation, direction, and purpose. I am your host, Vanessa Lagoa. Today, we are going to meet with an incredible man who really shows us profound resilience. Today, we are sitting down with Jose Pereira. Jose is the former CEO of Citgo Petroleum and one of the Citgo Six. Jose and five others were held hostage for 1,775 days internationally. Jose has overcome this horrific nightmare that he lived through and now helps others through his executive resilience program. He is also the author of From Hero to Villain, The True Story of the Citgo Six. It is my honor and privilege to sit down today and have this profound conversation with you, Jose. So welcome and thank you for being on Life Rewritten.
Thank you for having me here. It's an honor to.
Thank you. So Jose, can you give us a little bit of a background about what life looked like for you before it turned into a nightmare?
Well, there's a question that I always make it is to your audience to understand. I always mentioned that I have like a before and after. I have a previous life and I have my new life. In my previous life, I was an executive that did a 35-year career in oil and gas. I'm Venezuelan born. I began in the 80s in Venezuela. By that time, for your audience to understand, we were really privileged because Venezuela was the wealthiest country of all Latin America at that time. And PDVSA, that is the national oil company, was the fifth biggest oil company of the world. Wow. So that was a big deal working there. And I began to do my career there during years, decades. And I had a blessing because I'm a fourth generation of oil and gas workers. So my granddad, my dad, me, and my son. We are four generations. So my granddad, when he was a oil engineer, petroleum engineer, and he was graduated here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So I came here when I was 5 years here to with my dad, and we returned back to Venezuela, and I was like 12. And when I came to Venezuela was during the era that the American company were operating the oil field. So we were very connected to the American companies and the culture, everything. In fact, in the neighborhood where I grew up was an American neighborhood. So, you know, for me, taking Thanksgiving, Halloween was normal. And I began my career in PDVSA in the international side because I spoke English, I knew the culture, and that I did my career working always in that international side. And at the end of my career, I came here to the U.S. as an assignee and became the CEO of the company. So if you say it that way, it was a successful career. I was having a perfect life, but that perfect life I discovered today that was not so perfect because you know, there's where comes the challenge because you become full of ego, selfishness, didn't take care of my family. I abandoned God. So we had a lot of things that were going in our life and we never saw that coming. And the other thing is that we thought that everything was related to we were lucky. Right. We never give the credit to God. We were lucky in Peter. But came that turning point, and we're going to talk later how's my life today. But that was my, more or less, long story short, my life before my nightmare.
Okay. So life on the outside seemed good. Everything seemed good. You were successful. You came from a background of success, and you continued that and brought your son along into that with you. And from what I understand, you were up here, you were living well, and then all of a sudden, you're called to a meeting right before Thanksgiving with several of your executives in Venezuela, and you're going for what you believe to be an important business meeting. But that is not what ended up being the case. So tell us a little bit about that day.
Well, that day, by the way, I mentioned it very vividly in my book because I had the opportunity to recreate all that moment because we were here. I was getting retired. That was during the first Trump administration, and kind of funny what's happening today because this is like a deja vu for me because it was more or less the same situation
Right.
that today is happening. But of course, now it's going even heavier. But by that moment, there was those tensions, and I was working here in a company that belonged to PDVSA, that is the national oil company of Venezuela. So literally, for me, it was like a kind of a conflict. I was in the middle of that, and I had decided to get retired. I decided I had 35 years in the company, and so I took that decision to get retired, and I was really retired mode. And as you mentioned, it was during Thanksgiving, and I was with my wife in a movie, relaxing, taking care of the Thanksgiving coming with my kids, et cetera, my vacations. And I received a call to attend this important meeting. And they wanted me to go to make the presentation. And well, I was a guy that, follow instructions, and I flew with my five executive, and we did the presentation. It became an ambush. It became an ambush because everything was set up to get us there, captured there. We were accused to be American spies, and the six of us became the political pawns of all the situation between Venezuela and the US at that time. That was in 2017. And the negotiation lasted 5 years to the 1,775 days to bring us back.
So you're in this meeting and you do your presentation and everything changes and now you're being accused of being spies and did this feel like a misunderstanding?
Of course, of course. I always mention that when things like this happen to you, the first reaction is deny it. I
Right.
never, first of all, I didn't do nothing wrong. For me, that was a mistake. I really thought that it was a mistake. But when we learned what we were accused and the charge that were given to us all the situation that was behind the scene is that we discovered that we were in the middle of a real problem, But the first reaction was denied. We thought it was a mistake. Yeah.
Because you did you feel like at that point you and your executives were living with integrity in terms of your business practices? And so, of course, you hadn't done anything wrong.
And by the way, my five vice president was even worse because this guy has been appointed like 2 months before. So there were new in their positions. So not only there were challenging their integrity because these guys, all of them had more than 30 years in the company. Very, very high quality professionals were appointed because of their credentials. And now they're in the middle of being accused of being American spy. It really becomes a nightmare.
Yeah, and so take us to that day. So you're trying to explain that this is a misunderstanding and no, you're not spies. Clearly you were captured and held for that lengthy period of time. So what happened in that moment? Were you were immediately detained or how did that look?
Well, we didn't have a chance to explain nothing. We were taken by the counterintelligence police of Venezuela, that is called the DGCIN. I'm going to show you. This is my book, and this guy look. Okay, they use this type of mask.
Wow, truly
Okay,
a nightmare.
so can you imagine 20 guys of these, 6 foot tall, with rifles and a lot of all the suits, like I always said, that Robocop outfit, so very
Right.
scary guys. And this guy didn't have nothing that take you, they handcuff you, and ready to go to the dungeon. No explanation.
Wow. That is truly a scene out of a horror movie.
Oh, yeah. In fact, it was a horror movie.
Was in a living nightmare. And so now you're brought to this dungeon, and are you with your coworkers or are you separated?
We were separated for the rest of the next year. We stayed 1 year in a solitary confinement. Not only solitary confinement, let me tell you to your audience to understand the picture of this. We were in a dungeon, 3 story down in a basement, no windows, that door all day long locked, light 24/7 turned on, no fresh air, no running water, no food during days. So we were literally living in a hell. It became to us a hell.
And you're living in a hell that you it's something so far from what you're accustomed to. You're living a good life prior to this, and now you're in this hell and confused. So how did you, in those first few days, what was going through your mind?
Well, that's a good question. And I don't know if we have time to develop the answer in the, I don't know how much time we have, but because there is something key that happened in that moment. Because 1 month before I got captured, I was in the negotiation to get retired. And I had to fly to Venezuela 1 month before. And when I was coming back here to Houston, I received a phone call that I needed to attend a meeting. That Sunday, they're going to have a closing of a summit in my company. Of course, I was the president of the company, and I attended with my wife. And when I was in that meeting, there was a speaker of the event. There is a guy called Captain Phillips. You know, the guy that
Yes,
Tom
I do.
Hanks played in the movie? Okay. Well, the
Yeah.
real Captain Phillips. And when he told his story, being a hostage for years, and when he came back after his finalizing speech, I made him the question how he survived that. And he mentioned me that a man has an unbreakable spirit inside that you have to unleash it, that you have to connect with God. That's why my program today is called Unbreakable. And my second book is called Unbreakable. And my show of TV is called Unbreakable. Because for me, that guy was literally like an angel telling me the moments are going to happen in the next month. So in that moment, I was really thinking in that word.
Wow.
Everybody has inside that unbreakable spirit. And that
I
made me
would agree.
survive.
I would
That
agree
made
with
me survive.
that. So we're going to go to a quick commercial break, and when we come back, I want to hear a little bit more about what was going through your mind and how you trained your mind and your spirit to get through this nightmare. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll be right back with more stories of resilience and renewal. This is Life Rewritten on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Vanessa Lagoa, and you're watching Life Rewritten on Now Media Television. Welcome back to Life Rewritten. If you want more of what you're watching, stay connected to Life Rewritten and every Now Media TV show, live and on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. You can also listen to the podcast version right on our website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. Welcome back, Jose. We are continuing the conversation about your time in captivity as an international hostage. So we just started to talk a little bit about your mindset and your spirit and how you managed to survive 1,775 days as a captive. So tell us a little bit more. I know in the beginning you're confused, you're angry, I'm sure, and all the emotions are going through you. So paint us a picture of how you sort of shifted from angry and in disbelief to, okay, I'm going to get through this.
Well, that's a very, very good question because this is exactly one of the main things that today I speak and is part of my coaching program. Because let me mention to your audience that adversity always will appear. You will never know when it's going to appear. By the way, it will never announce. It will surprise you. And the first reaction, because it's very human, you will deny it. We were in the denial at the beginning, saying this is not true, this is wrong, there is a mistake, we're gonna clarify things here. And you can stay there because that's the point. You can stay there because that is that human nature. But the way you decide to react and how long it takes to you to react is gonna mark the difference because there is gonna be the change in your mindset. In our case, I'm gonna say it took months. It was not day one. even that I had this word of this guy talking about the unbreakable spirit that made me survive this first moment. But when I'm in that dungeon during days, nights, weeks, months, at some point you lose the sense of time and you don't know what's going on. You don't have contact of the exterior world. You don't know how your family is doing. So all the thoughts that you've been beginning to have, your mind is all over the place. And then comes the moment that you begin to revisit your life. There's where I got to revisit my life and begin to see all the mistakes that I had done in the past. Even though I was having that perfect life, it was not perfect
Right.
because I was empty, spiritually empty. I was lonely because I have abandoned my family. I was having problems with drinking because the stress that I was having. So it was not perfect life. It was a kind of a masked life. And my friend, many people live their life that way, unfortunately. And you see a lot of that in the social media. Oh, this is a beautiful couple. Everything is beautiful, and behind the scene, they're totally, But what happened? That now I'm having all those time to begin to reflect. And one day, after a month, they opened the door and they told me to dress up that I'm going to have a visit. And when I had the visit, it was my wife. So my wife took the risk to go to visit me. And I knew that moment that already had passed 10 months. So
Wow.
after 10 months, she came to visit me. And it was a big risk. I was happy and scared. It was
Right.
a mixed emotions. But I saw her, and I know that everybody was fine. The Sikh family were fighting hard to bring us back. They were working closely with the Trump administration. They had appointed somebody to take care of our case. So that gave us something that is called hope. So now we have hope. After that 3-hour meeting, when I came back to myself, my prison, I was full of hope. And that made a turning point. It was something that changed on my mindset. Because now I'm thinking that I needed to come back because of her, because of my sons. By that time, I already had more than 30 years married. So it began to make a change in your mindset.
Absolutely. And I mean, you talk about your life was fine and but you on the outside, but you were having these problems and how people portray their lives a certain way. And I understand that I'm a recovery coach. I help people with their drinking problems. And so I understand that a lot of times we, myself included at one point, portray the perfect life. And really inside you're not living the way that you're intended to live. But now you're sitting here and you've had all this time and you're reflecting on all of that. And I'm imagining that that's very heavy because you may be thinking, was I living my life right? What could I have done to not be in this position? But then you see your wife and as you say, you're filled with hope, and that's going to give you a newfound sense of purpose because now your purpose is I'm getting home. I'm getting home to my family.
And let me tell you, it began to be a evolving process because after that visit of my wife, 2 months after, we received another visit. By that time, it was a commission of the UN.
Okay.
We learned that the tension, the political tension, began to go so heavy that the two ambassadors were recalled. So there are no ambassadors of Venezuela and US. And then the UN had to intervene. The UN flew to Venezuela Commission, and they began to negotiate a release. They could not get that release, but they found two things: pull the six together, and begin our family to provide us food because by that time we were starving. I had lost 100 pounds. I was
Wow.
starving, 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 and the other guys were skeletons. So we looked like the Nazis in the concentration camps. But now we are together, and that's another turning point because now we are six guys together. And let me tell you this to your audience, and there's where I begin to see the hands of God, because the probability that six guys that we were not friends, we were colleagues, but not friends, we didn't know each other, nothing about their family. We discovered we were six guys, 30 plus year married, all of us, 30 plus year careers.
Wow.
Very, very common, in common things, a lot of in common things. And now the six of us had wonderful families behind us, grandkids, daughters and sons that loved us. And that was, I can tell you, that was a turning point, a real turning point.
Well, it's the power of community, and despite your circumstances, that unity was something that created community for you. And you know, I believe in the power of community. I believe in the power of helping one another, just like you're doing today. You're taking, you know, your hell and you're helping others. And in that time, to have one another after a period of time of being alone, it must have been such a relief.
Not only a relief, but because we found that we had a lot of things in common. It
Right.
was incredible that how you can have time to reflect and time to talk about simple things like family trips,
Right.
having food with the family, going back to those memories. It began to really make our mindset change different. And let me tell you, when you mentioned that the community, it went so big, the community, that they create a group called the family. The six family created a group called the Citgo Six Coalition. That was the foundation that was today is the Bring Our Family Home campaign. Today,
Wow.
the Bring Our Family Home campaign is the biggest foundation that take care of the hosted here in the US. And our family probably was one of the founders. This flag that you see here, this is the official hosted and roughly the 10 flag. It's an official flag approved by the Congress. 80 families, including my family, are part of the creation of this flag.
Wow.
So there's a lot of community behind, a lot of sense of
That must
community.
give you so much pride to know that you're part of helping create a movement that's going to help other people who are in your situation.
Oh yeah, and let me tell you, not only proud, it's a compromise. It's a compromise because today I'm one of the most vocal voices here in the US talking about the hostage situation. You know, every time something is happening, the journalists call me. I give interviews and I have been in the UN talking about this. I was invited to the Congress to talk about this. And I'm very connected to the foundation that work in this area today. So I'm supporting them this year. By the way, today is Giving Tuesday, and one of the foundation hosted US this year. Part of the campaign of the foundation is my photo when I was released with my grandson. It's part of the image of the campaign.
You know, I believe that your voice, the decision to use your voice is a choice. And wow, that is so powerful and amazing. So Jose, if people are looking to connect with you, what's the best way that they can go about doing that?
It's very easy. You can go to my webpage. The webpage is joseconnect.com. You're seeing there. In my webpage, you will find everything related to me. I'm today a speaker. There is my speaker page, everything related to my speaking. You can contact me there. It's my author page where I have my books. There are some interviews like this that I did recently with Fox and one that I did with CNN. In Espanol, and recently, and I also gave an interview with Anderson Cooper in CNN. There is also my podcast page, my TV show. As I said, I host also in Now Media. And also, you can see about my nonprofit that we're going to talk later. You can find everything related to me there.
Excellent. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about what life looks like for you now and how you found that inspiration to help others and give back. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll be right back with more stories of resilience and renewal. This is Life Rewritten on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Vanessa Lagoa, and you're watching Life Rewritten on Now Media Television. Welcome back to Life Rewritten. Don't miss a second of this show or any of your Now Media TV favorites. We're streaming live and on demand whenever and wherever you want. Grab the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our bilingual lineup in English and Spanish. If you prefer podcasts, listen to Life Rewritten anytime on Now Media TV on our website at www.nowmedia.tv. From wellness and transformation to business and innovation, Now Media TV is live 24/7, bringing you the stories that matter the most to you. We are back continuing the conversation with Jose Pereira, an absolute inspiration and I will say a legacy. Jose, thank you for being here with us. I want to talk about, after 1,775 days in captivity of living in the unknown in a nightmare, all of a sudden you're told to get dressed and you're not sure what to expect. So can you bring us back to that day and explain what happened and what that looked like?
Well, talking about the moment where we're released, always was a surprise. As I said, during 5 years, we never had nothing predictable because this guy, this is the way they behave. Remember, they're trying to break you. So everything is set up that way. So that day, we were in the night, we were having, by that moment, already the negotiations were going fast. We had like 1 year negotiation, direct negotiation. That was in my fourth year. So we were really convinced that we were going to come back in any moment, but we didn't know when. So that last year, our situation was a little bit more relaxed. Because these guys, that Venezuelan regime, wanted to give the impression that they were treating us better. So now we're having more relaxed situation, and we were having a domino tournament. We were playing domino. And that night, I remember, was like 9 p.m. They told us to go to our prison, and everybody returned to the prison. Okay. We prayed, we read the Bible, and we went to bed. And at 5 a.m. in the morning, they turned the lights and say, hey, dress up, that you're going to go to a place. And when we went to that place, we saw a lot of you know, doctors and nurses and people taking recording it. And when we didn't know what was going on, and came the director of the prison and said, hey, dress up, put your civil clothes that you released. And when they said that we are released, they put us in an armor truck. And we said, where are we heading? And when we saw, I saw the sign of the Maiquetía airport. They said, oh, we're going to the airport. And it was funny because we went to the PDVSA hangar. I can tell you, I flew in the PDVSA plane all my life. I recognized the hangar. I recognized the plane. We came back in a PDVSA. And not only that, the guy told us, you're going to be freed. It's going to be a 1.5 hour flight. 1.5 hour. We didn't know where we were heading because we come to Houston in 5 hours. So now right. We were thinking that there was going to land in Cuba, something like that. No. And this guy put us handcuffed. They tied our feet and they put us a mask. And we told him, no, I'm not going to put me in the hook. No. So now we were really scared that this guy was going to kill us in the air, you know. Long story short, we landed in a very small Caribbean island called San Vicente and Granadine, in the middle of nowhere, in the top of Dominican Republic. And well, we were there in the middle of nowhere, and kind of a couple of minutes after, we saw the American plane coming. And it was the ambassador, Roger Carson, that had 1 year negotiating our release, having direct negotiations, you know. And he came with the two nephews of Maduro that were here in the U.S. in a federal prison. And that day we learned that we were swapped. There was a prisoner swap. So we were swapped, the six of us, by the two nephews of Maduro. So we got the honor to have been swapped by the nephews of that dictator of Venezuela. So that's the way
two planes meeting and exchanging
You can see it. That was
International prisoners.
it was a movie time. It was a movie time.
Wow.
Two planes. You walk into this plane. The other guy walk into this plane, and we saw how we crossed with these guys. And end of the story. But that was not the end of the story. Let me tell you a little bit more, because
yes.
now we're heading in to the U.S. But we were not safe. We were not in the international. We were still in the plane, in a way that they can go back, you know. So
right.
we had to stay like 2 more hours, flying in the unknown. And after 2 hours, we came to the safest space in the American space. And it's where the captain. It was our Argus moment, you know. The captain of the plane came say, "Hey, now we're safe. We're in American airspace." And
wow.
Everybody began to cry. We stayed hours flying in the unknown.
That is, I mean, that because the international skies, I mean, wow, that's just unbelievable. I'm thinking, you think as soon as you sit in that plane, you're safe,
no,
and
we're not
you're
safe.
not. You're just not until you're into a certain territory.
Mm-hmm.
And did you have this moment of release when you know, that goose moment where you're safe now and you're,
Of course,
did you
everybody.
truly feel safe?
Unfortunately, nobody had the time to record that. But everybody was crying, laughing, hugging, because we were with, in the plane, there came federal marshals, people from FBI,
right.
CIA, a lot of people. That was a full packed plane. And let me tell you, everybody was screaming, yelling. You know, it was a beautiful moment, a real beautiful.
Well, because the people who were bringing you home had been working tirelessly round the
Years
clock for
working,
quite a few time,
years,
years.
years
Right.
working, years. They had years working to bring us back. Years.
Do you have relationships with any of those people?
Oh, yes, of course. Yes. I go every year. We have a meeting in Washington, and we're invited to the State Department, to the office. It's called the Special Presidential Office for Hostage Affairs. Yeah, all these guys are my friends. So
right, right. I mean, heroes. They're real true heroes.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Wow. Let me ask you this question. Will you ever visit Venezuela again?
That long story short is that I hope that the unfinished task is done this time, and we will have a free country. I will have the possibility to go back someday, but at this moment, of course, no.
It's not top on your list
No.
right now. Yeah, I can understand that. Wow. So tell us a little bit briefly before we go to a commercial break, and then we can continue a little bit more. But today you are starting a nonprofit. Tell us
Yeah,
a little bit about what that looks like.
Well, this is something that maybe is going to blow your mind, because during those years, after years of having daily praying, now we're praying, now we're reading the Bible, now we're very spiritually connected. So our situation was in another mood. That night, like in my fourth year, third or fourth year, I don't have that time frame, but I was resting in peace, and I had a dream. During that night, I had a dream. It came like a vision. It came to me a vision that I saw how God was giving me the vision of the future. And in that vision, I saw a building, I saw installations, I saw part of my family working in that building. I saw some classroom giving seminars. And I saw all the set. I saw the TV studio. I saw everything that is been coming and coming. And he gave me the name. He told me that I needed to create a foundation called Angels Helping in Earth. I'm Jose Angel. So the name was Angels Helping in Earth. And that is the foundation. Angels Helping
wow.
in Earth. That's the name of the foundation.
I mean, if that's not the power of belief and the power of, you know, believing in something greater than yourself, you know, that vision coming to you, especially when you're at rest, that's a true knowing. And I think that it's powerful that you're following, what was brought to you in that vision. And
But
so
I don't have no choice because I'm not following. It's following me. Everything is coming alone. It's incredible. It will blow your mind how the things are going in my life. It's coming alone. If I didn't have the choice to do it, it had been done because it was the choice that I had to do it.
And so who is this foundation setting out to help?
I have a friend, a pastor, a very good friend. His name is Pastor Willie F. Peterson. He has a company called the Fundum Fundraiser. Sorry, Kingdom Fundraiser. Fundum Fundraiser. He has more than 35 years working with this, helping nonprofit and creator, the nonprofit. So he has been helping me. And today, that is Giving Tuesday, is like the starting point. Today we're launching the foundation. It's a soft launching because we're having a fundraising process, and we're gonna have the physical launching in January here in Houston. So we're
Wow.
working hard on that.
Well, and what a good day today to be launching that on Giving Tuesday. So we're going to go to commercial break, and when we come back, you can tell us a little bit more about some of your speaking and how life looks today. That now that you're following that vision that was brought to you. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll be right back with more stories of resilience and renewal. This is Life Rewritten on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Vanessa Lagoa, and you're watching Life Rewritten on Now Media Television. Welcome back to this last segment of Life Rewritten. We're going to talk a little bit about Jose bringing not only himself home, but bringing a new vision and a new meaning and purpose to his life. So, Jose, when you came back and you're now a free man and you're back with your family, what are those beginning days of life look like?
I always mention that is like coming in a time machine. And that people can think that it's a happy ending, but it's not a happy ending. It's the beginning of a new year. I came into a world 5 years after a post-pandemic world that I didn't recognize. To tell you the truth, I didn't know what to do with my life. I was clueless to do with my life.
Right. I mean,
I had the fortune that I could have some help. But yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, so you're saying post-pandemic life, you're right. I mean, for those of us who were here living in it, life was so different, and it was wild. So to come back and see a whole new world here, and that you missed that.
That has a good part and a bad part. The good part is that I didn't suffer the pandemic because I didn't go to all the crazy things that I have heard about the pandemic. I was locked down. But the bad news is that the people, the way they reacted now, I didn't recognize the people. The people now today is very reactive. You have to take care of what you say, how you say it, So the people are different. And for me today, I'm still digesting that.
Right. And I mean, and it's a totally different political climate when you come back.
Totally different.
And you had experienced, I mean, as a, you were really used as a pawn in a political game. And now we have a new president when you return, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Well, let me tell you, remember my case was during his first presidency. So kind of the things that I, considering the situation where we're caught in the middle, that we, what we're seeing today between Venezuela and the US is a kind of a continuation of what was happening during the first period.
Yeah, that has to be very disheartening and very, it's got to sort of open up some wounds for you to see how things are today.
Not only that, remember, I still have friends that are there. I have a lot of political prisoner friends of mine that's still there. So I'm really kind of worried for them. Yeah.
It is. Yeah, I can understand that. So you're back and you're re-acclimating to life a bit, and I'm sure your family, your friends, everybody, your community is happy that you're back, but you're struggling a bit with your sort of identity at this point.
Yeah, I had a blessing that not only had the support of my family that helped me come back, and I understood that my true hero were my wife and my kids. I don't want to talk
Right.
because I could stay hours talking about that. If somebody wants to hear the story, they can go to the book. I mentioned that. But having the support of these foundations, as I mentioned, I'm today very connected to the hostage community and the foundation, the support. I got a lot of support. I'm talking about mental support, physical support, healing support, financial support, many support. By the way, the prologist of my book, when we talk, is the director of the Wake Medical Center, Brian Klofner, one of the biggest trauma recovery centers here in the US. He became my friend and he did the prologue of my book.
Wow. So let's talk a little bit about your books. So once you've sort of like re-assimilated into life, you make the decision that you're going to share your story. And in your first book, Hero to Villain, that is the true story of the Sitco Six. So
Well,
can you?
that book has so many things that it's difficult to tell in 1 hour. That long story short is that I begin to that after we had 1 year of the starving, and after a visit of the UN, we were allowed to our family to begin to provide us food. During that year, that we got together, the six, and we could have food provided by our family. My eldest son moved to Colombia and began to supply me food from Colombia. And during that time that we were having food coming back and forward from them, during years, during the last 4 years, I could begin to smuggle letters inside the trash cans.
Wow.
I began to smuggle letters to be connected to my wife, and she did the same. And we
Wow.
stayed doing that during years. And we collected around 1,000 letters. When I came back, I found that my wife had compiled all those 1,000 letters, and that became that book. So that book has that Anna Frank diary reminiscence, you know, that we was our diary talking about our story. And of course, I didn't took all of them. My first draft was like a 600 page book. So I that book is gonna be like a trilogy. So that book will have a second and a third part. There are a lot of information there. So From Hero to Villain became the name because when we were captured at that moment, I was a true hero in the Venezuelan area. I was the most well-known Venezuelan in the oil and gas, CEO in the sixth biggest refinery here in the US as an immigrant. They saw me like a hero. And then 5 minutes after being captured and being accused to be American spy, we became the worst of the villains. So that's why I went to being a hero and became a villain. So that's why my book is called From Hero to
Wow. That's so powerful, especially hearing the story of you and your wife exchanging those letters. I mean, that's incredible. And it's incredible that during that time, nobody caught on and you were able to.
Never another sign of God. We saw a lot of signs of God. This is a true sign of God. We stayed years exchanging letters. Never they caught them. I have all of them here.
Unbelievable. Now, your next book, Unbreakable, tell us a little bit about that.
I decided to write the second book, Unbreakable, because as I mentioned, when I had that encounter with Captain Phillip, and he gave me that glimpse about that unbreakable spirit. My coaching is called Unbreakable, a leadership coaching program. By my book, I decided to call Unbreakable because I try to put the spirit of being unbreakable, but based on biblical principles. Things that during those years of studying the Bible, things that everything is in the Bible. Well, who was the best leader of the world? Was Jesus, correct? So I tried to combine all those biblical lessons of the Bible. So it's an easy reading to the people that want to be a good leader. That's what I said, Unbreakable.
Right. And so your books are about your story, but they're also bringing a sense of hope and faith to anybody who can read it. And really, I feel like your story is so powerful because it's not necessarily the story of what happened to you, but the story of resilience that you tell, that, we all go through phases of our lives where we feel stuck and we feel hopeless. But I think anybody reading your story or hearing about your story is going to be able to find a renewed sense of hope in themselves or in a higher power.
Well, today that I'm also an international speaker, I have been speaking all over the place, and I always try to combine that experience. I have a speech called "From Captivity to Freedom," where I try to navigate any avenue in your life. You don't have to be a physical hostage like I was, but
Right.
you can be a mental hostage. You
Yes.
can be going to any situation in your life. You name it. You name it.
That's
So
right.
that the pattern you can mirror. It all are always the same. So that is part of my contribution today. It's part of my legacy.
So I'm going to ask you a question I ask all of my guests unprompted, with no time really to think about it. But what would you name the next chapter of your life? What's
Well,
next?
for me, the foundation, this is my lifetime legacy. The other day, I was talking with my grandson, and he saw me unfolding these folders, and he asked me that what this was, and I told him that this was the foundation that I was creating, and I was joking with him, and I told him that this was going to be his next venture in the next 30 years. He's going to become the president of this foundation, and he began to cry. He really took it seriously. So this is going to be my legacy, this foundation.
Well, I do believe that you are one of the angels helping on earth. I think that's a perfect title for you. And I truly thank you for sharing your story here with us, and being able to give other people hope and inspiration and purpose. So, Jose, thank you so much for being here on Life Rewritten. And to all of our viewers, it's your turn to write your next chapter. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.